This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Hello again, everybody. This is Martin Spriggs with Wells Tech, the Wells Tech podcast, episode 391 for Cinco de Mayo. That's May 5th for you gringos, 2015. Joining me on the Cinco de Mayo, Sally Draper from New Ulm, Minnesota. Sally, who's your buddy there?
I'm here with Vice President of Mission Advancement from Martin Luther College, Pastor Mike Otterstatter. We're in the jazzed up Wells Technology office here. We brought out the good stuff for you today.
Whenever we bring in guests, we got to put in the clothes. So yeah, absolutely. Nice.
Yeah, we're
studs on too. Beautiful.
We're celebrating here. We're gearing up for a huge day tomorrow, and that's why we invited Mike to join us today to tell us a little bit about it.
So what's going on tomorrow?
MLC Day. Our first, and we hope, a tradition it will be set. As they say with Lutherans, you do it once, it's a tradition. So we're hoping for this to be done for many years ahead. A day of celebration and support of our College of Ministry.
Okay. So is this part of what you do there, Mike? Tell us a little bit about who you are and what your responsibilities are at MLC.
Sure. I'm Vice President for Mission Advancement, so I serve with three other vice presidents on the administrative council, basically help run the college on behalf of the synod in between governing board meetings, help President Zarling keep the ship sailing. My particular area, then I manage the Mission Advancement Office, which deals with public relations, publications, donor relations, and of course, receiving and acknowledging gifts for the college, and then getting on the road and conducting MLC Sundays, preaching wherever I can, presenting at high schools and grade schools, and making personal visits around the nation.
Now, you served for a period of time in the parish ministry as well, correct?
I did. In 1994, I was assigned to Tulsa, Oklahoma, Mount Olive Lutheran Church there, and served there till 2002. And then from 2002 to 2007, I served at Abiding Word in Mainville, Ohio. That's just suburban Cincinnati. And then from 2007 to 2013, I served at St. John Redwood Falls, Minnesota. And then in 2013, started here July 1st. So coming up on 2 years as VP for Mission Advancement at MLC.
And I have some Mike trivia. I don't know if everybody knows this, but of those four places you served, how many of them had building programs while you were there?
Three of them.
Lucky guy, huh? He's been through a lot of building days.
Yeah, three building projects. It was awesome to be able to do that and watch the Lord's blessing, you know, using a building just as a tool, but watching people get excited about a growing ministry.
And now you're building the School of Ministry for Wells Martin Luther College. And one of the ways that you're doing that is trying new things. And one of those is this MLC Day. So tell us a little bit about what MLC Day is. I'm assuming it's a day focused on getting the word out, but maybe what how did this all come to be?
Well, I would guess that most of our listeners know that every college in the nation, you'd be hard-pressed to find a college in the United States that doesn't do a one-day giving challenge through social media. We thought that that didn't really fit well or that well with Martin Luther College, our College of Ministry. We didn't want it to be all about asking for money or making it like a telethon or a phone-a-thon where you raise X dollars and you challenge people. We really wanted it to be celebration and support. And we came up with the three thoughts of pray, share, and give. So yes, giving is still a part of it, and it's a lot like, in that sense, other one-day giving challenges. But that's, we could say, only one-third of it. We have a number of prayers on the website. You can click on the webpage, and there are prayers for you to read or pray, unless you want to make up your own. That's wonderful, too. And then, of course, with social media, we're asking people to share as well, to repost, to email, whatever they want to do, to use tweet or Instagram, whatever.
So is there an on-campus component as well? This is a lot of, you know, digital tools, and we'll talk about a little bit more about those in a minute with the website. But what's going to physically happen on campus tomorrow? Anything?
From sun up to sundown and beyond. Really, we have from a morning prayer to a late night in the cafeteria. We'll have roving reporters. We have clips from faculty and staff and students. There's an Air Jenga tournament. The VPs are going to be participating in that against some students. They've already had the elimination rounds to get them, you know, to get the field narrowed down to be worthy of taking on the VPs. And Air Jenga is simply blowing a little a thing back and forth across the table, and apparently it can get pretty heated. But we're looking forward to that and some other events. Really, just want to bring everyone who can through social media to the campus to get excited with many of our seniors. Think of them going out to their first call. Our pastor track young men going on to Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary. This is one of the most exciting, if not the most exciting time of the year at Martin Luther College. So that's why we picked this time, and that's why we picked social media. That yes, you can tune in all day for various events and video clips and celebration.
It's a party going on here. It's very exciting. And, you know, you're not just going to see this on the MLC pages that we will have links to, obviously, in the show notes. But we've kind of enlisted a little army to help us with this celebration. We have a group of people that are going to work for us on our behalf to help share the good news of this day of celebration. Maybe tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. We'll call them online ambassadors. We went, Bill Peckrell and I kind of looked through our Facebook pages and just looked at people who were reposting MLC things, whether it was choir tour, wind symphony tour, football, basketball, whatever it was, and then just reached out to them and said, you know, you're already kind of doing this. How would you like to be an ambassador for MLC Day? And then we provided them with a toolkit, if you will. Maybe that's an overstatement, but some things that they could take and adapt and then post via social media. And so, yes, we've recruited online ambassadors, and we're hoping that they'll get the word out. I always use the example with people of the very popular choir piece, I Will Rise, from a year ago. We had, what was it, Sally? Almost 50,000 yeah. views of that piece because it was so powerful, so moving. Pointed people to Christ, and just, I mean, that I think astounded us to see that many people watching it. You know, granted, my wife and I probably had 20 views in there, but still, that's the power of social media. It just can cascade and domino on down. So we believe this is going to be an awesome thing. A lot of people sharing and praying and giving tomorrow.
So who's the audience? Who is all this aimed at? Is it prospective students? Is it supporters? Is it a combination of those?
I'd say a combination. President Zarlene and I laugh about that or joke about that all the time when it comes to our MLC Sundays. When you go there, you have to know everything about everything because you're right. going to run into young men, women that want to, well, you know, what do I do to get on the mailing list? And then you'll talk to parents who have questions about the FAFSA. And then you'll run into grandparents who want to help their grandkids, but do it with a tax deduction and not give a direct gift. And then you'll run into somebody else during, you know, coffee and donut time who says, you know, Mildred and I have always wanted to start a scholarship for early childhood teachers. Come and visit with us this afternoon, and let's see if we can do that. So it's all across the board, and I would say the same for MLC Day. We had just the other day, we got an email from a young lady who is going to be promoting MLC Day I think she was in seventh grade, something like that. And,
right.
You know, and there she's like, just, I love MLC. Can't wait to go there. And there you have an instant ambassador who's going to be posting and reposting.
A lot of pride in your connection with MLC and historically connection with DMLC, with Northwestern College, et cetera. Just happy to tap into all of those wonderful ambassadors, alumni ambassadors
yep,
that are out
exactly.
there as well. So
let's bring this down maybe to a congregation's level. You have the experience of being in the parish recently and you know, in the age of social media. Is this a model that is usable by congregations, let's say, where they can make use of these quote-unquote ambassadors and have this similar kind of promotional approach?
Yes, I think it could morph into something for the local congregation. It, you know, it might be a challenge to generate enough critical mass for a St. John Redwood Falls Day. You know, yes, we had 800 members there, but that might be a challenge. On the other hand, to use online ambassadors and social media to generate interest about upcoming events, that I think we'll see more and more. I would use this as an example. Shortly before I took the call here to the college at St. John Redwood, we needed a new roof on the church and tuck pointing and some insulating after we had built a brand new school. And we needed a number of things to be done for the church. Well, I did I recorded a podcast, if you will, of my PowerPoint, did the voiceover about 10 minutes. And just said, you know, I know that many of you won't be able to attend the informational meeting that's going to be held between services this Sunday. But here, I put it online for you. Come and look at it. And I couldn't believe the number of people that watched it and rewatched it. And, you know, then said later, oh, Pastor, you made it so clear. You had those slides and you described what we were doing. And I could watch it and look at it again and all of that. So I definitely see, you know, maybe not this exact kind of model, but a morphing of this model for any kind of ministry.
And I think from a communication perspective, just making use of those friends of friends connections is a great way to do some outreach, some evangelism type focus things.
Yep, exactly. You know, the idea of like for a Christmas service or for a Sunday school service, you know, the preschool kids are singing, you know, all of that through via social media. I know in Redwood, at St. John Redwood, when we would do our annual musical, after we built the new school and had room to host it, Dave Gardner and I figured there were between 300 and 400 people there, and about 200 of them were non-members. They were just from Redwood Falls. They had nephews, nieces, grandkids in the play, or just, you know, wanted to check it out, something to do in a small town in Minnesota on a Friday night. And again, we were able to post then online the play, and they could watch it again. And so I see some of this already there. It's just really a matter of getting creative and saying, how can we make this work for our congregation, you know, a lot like we did with the online giving days of most colleges. Well, we right. morphed it. We made it MLC Day with pray, share, give, not just give, not just money.
Right. And these kind of days kind of take on a new dimension today with social networks. And again, the power of it is in the connected nature of those networks themselves, where you have some of those key people who have some serious social connections, while they may not always be local. Part of, I think, the goal, as you stated it, is certainly awareness that, you know, even if somebody doesn't live there in New Ulm or maybe doesn't have even a student going there, the more people who are aware of the ministry that's going on there, God can use that.
Absolutely.
Yep,
I want to just take a minute. We looked a few minutes ago at the website, but we want to point out the mlcday.com website and the fact that you can go here and find prayers. You can find information about sharing MLC Day. you can see a map. We're hoping to fill up this map with markers from every state of people that have visited mlcday.com. So throughout the day, we'll be updating it, and we're hoping to fill in all the states as having visitors from every state. And then finally, there's the page to give, where we have a link to our online giving giving form. But probably the busiest page will be our Facebook page at facebook.com/mlcwells. And there'll be posts going up all day long to highlight the events of the day.
So it's at mlcday.com.org. What is it on the main site there, Sal?
It's .com.
MLCday.com. Yep. So that's where, if people want to get involved, see what's going on, if there's live streaming stuff, they should go there.
Correct.
Okay.
Lots of good stuff.
Mike, really appreciate you taking some time with us. I know you're on the eve of MLC Day, so you've probably got a few things, a few irons in the fire, so we'll let you get back at that. But really appreciate you doing that, and we'll be tuning in tomorrow, see how it goes.
Thank you, Martin. Have a good day.
Yep. Thank you. Blessings. Sally will slide into the center of the screen there. Nice banner back there, Sally.
It's thanks to Bill Peckrell and all his hard work. Yep. He's got a lot invested in MLC Day. He's been a busy guy. He's our public relations guy here at MLC.
Yeah, and I really like the three dimensions, the pray and the share and the give components, because it really isn't just about kind of raising funds, but raising awareness and raising our voices to the Lord in both thanksgiving and supplication, to ask Him, to continue to bless the work that goes, the very important work that goes on at our training college there in New Ulm, Minnesota.
So. Yeah, I was part of the planning of this way back when. It was sometime last year when we had initial meetings, and we thought about the mission of MLC, the training and equipping of these students to go out and spread the good news, and just the electricity that's on this campus in the month of May as we approach graduation and assignments.
Great timing for that, too. Yeah,
just excited to share that. For sure. So yeah. I hope that through these various means, people really get a feel for the important work that goes on here.
Yep. And we will reference this in the show notes too, but we referenced it a few times with the ambassador concept. That was something that we've talked about a couple of times previously on the show, and I've shared with other audiences as well when I've talked about the use of social networks, where we had Justin Ware on the show, who was a social media consultant, and shared this concept, which really resonated and made a lot of sense and kind of was the foundation for MLC Day.
Yeah, it was. Justin came here and spent a day with us and helped guide us through some of that brainstorming, some of that struggling with, well, when would be a good time of year to do this and what should we call it and things like that. Always emphasizing the celebration effect that we really want to convey. What a wonderful gift to the Synod that this School of Ministry is, and share that with everyone. So, yeah, we'll have a link in the show notes to Justin's interview, as you said, Mark.
Cool. Let's move on to our next segment, which we call News in Tech. Couple things that we want to talk about. One, we can't not see in the news, and that's the new Apple Watch. There's a bunch of reviews out there. We'll put a link to one of those in the show notes from TechCrunch. But the Apple Watch has made a big splash. A lot of people have it. A lot of people have forked over their greenbacks, their $350+. And the reviews are mixed, I guess I'd say. The reviews that are out there talk about usability, and this is a 1.0 product, et cetera, that maybe this is not as big an improvement over some of the other watches that are out there. But if you're interested, there's no shortage of reviews out there if you think this might be for you. Of course, you need an iPhone for this to work. It will not work with any other kind of smartphone. Sally, what are your thoughts on the Apple Watch?
Well, you know, Martin, I'm a fan of watches. Got mine on today. I don't know about you, but that's
that doesn't look like an Apple Watch.
It's not. It actually has a second hand and everything. So, yeah, I don't think I'll be investing in an Apple Watch for one reason, my eyes don't work that well on small screens, so I'm not sure it would be super effective for me. My phone is small enough, and sometimes I struggle with it. So, but what about you, Martin? Have you gotten in line to purchase an Apple Watch yet?
No, a little rich for my blood, and I'm not sure that it makes a lot of sense to kind of be tied to one platform. Actually, I have a Pebble coming. My son, Aaron, who recently moved down to Austin, went to South by Southwest and went to the Pebble Party. That's kind of some of the things they do down there when they do South by Southwest, and met the Pebble CEO.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then went out to Kickstarter and purchased one, and he changed his mind, and he's doing an Apple Watch. I don't know if he has his yet, but he needed somebody to take the Pebble off his hand. So I said, I might be interested in that. So I've got a Pebble, one of the newer Pebbles coming my way. So we'll see how that works, but interesting stuff.
I predict a pick of the week in our future.
We'll see, yeah.
Pebble pick.
Jury's still out. One thing I like about the Pebble, 10 days of battery life, as opposed to the one day you might get with some of the other watches, including the Apple Watch. Some other news in tech, and one of our old friends, Lutherans Online, from at the time maybe AAL, now Thrivent, is going offline. And I know some of our congregations had used the free service that Lutherans Online had provided to prop up a website, but that is going away, I think, starting this Sunday, May 10th. They're going to be taking that offline. I think they're communicating to all the congregations, their churches that are using their service. And there are other options, of course. If you are on Lutherans Online, you've obviously got some decisions to make. But one of those decisions could be maybe using a tool like Final Web. Sally and I would both heartily recommend a more full-featured tool like that.
Yeah, and Lutherans Online is for more than just websites. So I actually have some friends that met and married through their dating service. So that's going to be no more as well. They've got e-cards and things like that. Sounds like they're shuttering the whole thing and kind of pointing people toward using Facebook and Twitter and Pinterest, as mentioned, that kind of thing. So, yeah, that's been around for a long time, but it seems like its day has come, and they're
about its usefulness, useful life.
So,
all right, let's move on to our Wells Now section. What's in that? What's to share, Sally?
Well, we have a little conference coming up, and I wanted to make mention of that. Wells Tech Conference coming up this July 9th through 11th. You can get more information at wells.net/Wells Tech Conference. We have an interesting giveaway going on right now, Martin, where someone is going to win $25 Amazon gift card, and they can do that over at bit.ly/WTConfRaffle. And we're going to give that away next week on May 13th. That's next Wednesday. So there's still time. Even if you've entered the raffle already, you can enter on a daily basis by doing various things over on the raffle site. So check that out and be part of the Wells Tech Conference raffle. And also help us share the good news about Wells Tech Conference. Another announcement related to Wells Tech Conference has to do with our logos pre-conference event. So one of the pre-conference workshops is titled Optimizing Logos 6 for the Original Language Study, and it's being led by Pastor Aaron Fry. And that particular pre-conference workshop is now being offered as a standalone event. So if you aren't able to attend the full conference, you can register on the website for just this particular pre-conference workshop. It's Thursday, July 9th from 1:15 to 5 p.m. The cost for the standalone workshop is $49, but we're giving a discounted rate for any college seminary students. They can get in for $29. So check out the course description and register for that if you are interested.
Yep, that's a little bit more expensive than if you attended the conference itself, because the pre-conference workshops are $29 if you attend the full-blown conference. So that's a consideration. So go to wells.net/wellstechconf for all that information, and you can sign up for the conference itself or this special pre-conference workshop for one of our sponsors, Lugus. Aaron Fry is going to be doing that, so should be a good time on what that would be on Thursday afternoon, right?
That's correct, Martin.
Okay. Let's move along, Sally, to our picks of the week.
Very good. I think I'll share my screen one more time. I had come across an interesting article from Church Tech Today. We haven't talked about churchtechtoday.com recently, Martin, but it is an excellent resource for all kinds of tech and ministry topics. We had the blogger Lauren Hunter on Wells Tech a few months back, maybe it was last year, and she talked about the website and things like that. This article just came out today or yesterday, I believe, and it's titled Using Print to Share Your Story. And I kind of smiled because maybe when we think about technology, we think digital and not print. But this particular article gives some good resources and ideas and things for when it is strategic to use print in your church. And certainly print isn't dead. They help you kind of narrow down the purposes of print to inform, to remind, and to invite, and give you what promotions your church will use in those different ways, like informing people through your bulletin or ideas about reminder postcards or posters and things like that. And then ideas for invitations so that you have some standard print resources that you can mail to people perhaps that are new to your community or whatever. They give you links to articles from in the past where they've talked about things like fonts and images and editing tools and things like that. So they provide some resources for you in regard to creating your print promotion. And then finally, the article talks about how to get great print for your print promotions and gives you some links and things there. So I thought it was interesting in a recent class discussion that I was a part of in a class I'm taking. We talked about technology being pen and paper. You know, it's not all about the shiny tools and things. You know, all different things are technology, and certainly print is an area of technology that you want to consider in your communication strategies. And I think this lays it out pretty clearly in this article.
Yep, we live in a kind of a hybrid world where we have a lot of different mediums that are at our disposal. So to overlook one would be to overlook a segment, you know, of your potential audience. So That's what that article really says. So good for sharing that. I saw that come across the wires here too, and I was going to tag that, but I'm glad you made that a pick. So. All right, my pick of the week is something we've talked about in the past, Sally, something called Inbox by Gmail. I didn't remember if I had ever picked this. I know we'd talked about it, so I just wanted to get it as an official pick at this point. I did a little experiment. I've been using Inbox for quite a while. This was by a kind of an invitation-only thing through Google that kind of acts as a layer or kind of a visual tool that sits on top of your Gmail. And once you have it in place, there's a lot of things that you can do with it. So I decided I had been using it on my iPhone for quite a while, and I decided, well, maybe I'm just going to go back to regular Gmail. And Gmail is a nice experience on the phone or a tablet or the computer, the web version. But there were a couple of things that I really missed, so I went back to Inbox. That's why I made it a pick. One of the things is I can quickly dismiss or get rid of a lot of emails by category. So Inbox does these things called bundles. So as you work in your email, it kind of groups things together, whether they can be grouped by promotions or updates or travel or purchases you've made, or you can kind of create your own even, which is kind of cool. And then as you work in the system, you can dismiss things, you can put reminders on things, which you can't do in regular Gmail, so you can kind of add a little flag that'll just pop it up, or you can even snooze items so that you can say, hey, I don't want to see this right now, but bring it back into my inbox in a day or a couple days or a week on a certain day on a certain time. So inbox is kind of looks like if you're viewing along at home, this is my inbox, my personal inbox. So it's grouped things by promo and by social, and then even by month, things that are sitting in here. And you can pin things, you can set the reminders, as I mentioned, or you can simply say, I'm going to mark this done. I don't ever want to see it again. So if I would click on my promos, I'll see everything that's come in that it has determined is a promotional item. And all of these are. So there are people or things or companies wanting me to buy things or consider things. And there's always a little link at the top that says, you know, sweep it away. So if I click that, they're all going to go away. And that's kind of the thing I missed on the mobile device. If you use regular old Gmail to dismiss like five things, you'd have to physically tap on a little icon on the left and then hit the trash can item. So that's one of the real benefits of inbox. And you can kind of see that you can create any kind of bundle that you want, and then you can ultimately automate it. So if you've got, let's say, a bundle, you can say, I'm going to say anything coming from a certain address or anything that includes some kind of item in the text itself or the message itself. And then you can do some ands and some ors around that as well. So you can create kind of rules that would push these into bundles. Then as you look at your whole inbox, you can see all those together in one place. So very cool and free. You just need to request an invite. I think they come out pretty quickly these days. That's my pick of the week.
Well, I've been
inbox or have used inbox, correct?
I've been an inbox user on my phone, but I haven't made the dive on my desktop access.
Yeah, and I would say that's probably not its sweet spot either. I still use regular Gmail on my desktop, but for smaller devices where you need to kind of process email quickly, inbox is a nice fit there. So that's probably that's more my pick is inbox on your mobile devices. So.
Very good.
And it's cool looking too. I think they've done a nice job with the design. It's intuitive, etc. So,
I guess what I was just thinking, Martin, is that there's so many great tools out there. It's about adopting and using consistently, and it's hard to make that leap. But I think when you do, you have to give it time and you have to work with it and use it consistently before you can make a determination.
Yep.
It's really a valuable tool. So that's why we thank you for doing that on our behalf with Inbox, and we're glad that it's working for you.
There are a couple of, full disclosure, there are a couple things there. Well, at least one thing I don't like about Inbox, even on the mobile device, is that it doesn't allow you to customize your gestures. So for an email, you have to swipe right to archive or delete it. And if you swipe left, that just snoozes it, and then it comes up with a little screen that says, well, do you want to see it tomorrow or next week or whatever, which is the exact opposite of the way the Outlook tool works on your phone. So if I'm in Outlook, I'm sweeping things to the right or to the left to get rid of them, and that's the way it works on iOS too, but here it almost is counterintuitive where you swipe the other way. And you can't customize that, but it's still kind of in beta request only. So maybe that's something that's coming in the future.
Leave it to me to swipe the wrong way and all of a sudden it's gone. And I didn't mean it for it.
Exactly. I've done that many times.
So that's kind of scary.
It's a kind of muscle memory that goes to the point of sticking with it enough so that you can kind of get a sense for how it works. So let's move on to community feedback, Sally.
Okay, I'm kind of excited about our feedback section today, Martin. We had a lot of interesting things here, things that are fun for me to learn about. The first one was from Jason Schmidt. He shared a link to Adobe Kickbox via our Digo page. Have you heard of Kickbox, Martin?
I have not.
So I'm just reading about it, trying to figure out exactly what it is. Apparently what it is, what it started it as was an employee innovation program at Adobe. So they would allow employees to request a kickbox, a physical box of resources that included a $1,000 credit card. And guidelines for them to develop their innovation in a very logical and supported way. And I think it actually included like a candy bar and a Starbucks card too, because they said everybody runs on sugar and coffee apparently in this world. And it's interesting to kind of dig into the website and read a little bit about their programs. There's some FAQ kind of stuff that says, you really give people $1,000 without asking even for them to justify what their project is or whatever. And they're like, yeah. And they can do really amazing things with it and stuff. So it's kind of freeing people up to allow them to innovate and have some space and resources to do that. So Adobe's seen great results with this apparently. So they decided to make their process open source and downloadable, so you can see what all the resources are besides the $1,000 that they provide to their employees and how they support their employees in developing these innovative ideas. And so I think it's really interesting. I'm kind of wondering about a school church connection, and you know, maybe a version of this would certainly be appropriate to kind of think outside the box about outreach, or you know, with your evangelism committee or whatever. Some of the guidelines that they provide might be really great resources for you to do some innovative things there. So check it out. I think I'm going to do a little more reading and see what the open source resources are. Maybe do a little demo.
I can envision this being rolled out in, let's say, a classroom setting, or you know, high school or upper grade school level, where you've got these resources that are at your disposal, and either for extra credit or as a part of extracurricular, you're given something to invent with, something to create with. Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Next up, Viadigo as well. We heard from James Karlofsky, who gave us a link to Charting the Future for Games in Education. This is from the EdTech Magazine website. And this is kind of a topic that's near and dear to my heart. I'm going to actually be doing some professional development here at MLC for the faculty on gamification, just to expose them to the concept, because I think it is definitely a trend in education today to allow some gamification. So interesting that these folks are gathering and looking at this and what its place is in learning in education today, and a good read there from James kind of supports that idea. So, and then I'm going to pause for a second with my screen sharing and read you guys an email that we got, because I thought it was super interesting and probably the same place a lot of our listeners may be. I heard from a friend, Paul Kazenbach, who is at St. Paul's in Cannon Falls. And he wrote that their school will be venturing into the world of Chromebooks for next school year. And he was specifically asking about recommendations on a particular model brand of Chromebook, any suggestions that we might have. And wow, this is a changing space constantly, Martin. I know when we first talked about Chromebooks, what, a long time ago, maybe 3 years ago at the most, there were about two or three different models that were out there. I think we interviewed Peter Isles, and he had one of the two models that he had implemented in his classroom there. Now there's a whole host of Chromebook models out there, and a whole lot of different price points for them as well. So I kind of went on a search. I did a little digging through Wells Tech archives for all the different things we've mentioned about Chromebooks. And so I just wanted to do a quick screen share and just show you the resources we've talked about just in the last year or so regarding Chromebooks, including a discipline policy around Chromebook usage. This is from the Illinois Lutheran Schools, their discipline policy that was shared. We had an article about fixing the no sound problem on Chromebooks. We had an article about Google apps and web apps for use on a Chromebook. So there's just a lengthy list of things that you could use with Chromebooks in this article. We've shared this Chromebook comparison chart. So here you can look at different brands, different characteristics, see things like the battery life and the RAM and what kind of processor it is and things like that. So if you want to do comparisons and things, this is a handy reference. And then last summer, I believe we shared this link to a comparison between three different Chromebook models. Again, perhaps already out of date because the space is changing so quickly. So my best recommendation, I wrote all that up for Paul and sent it to him, but my best recommendation was the Wells Google Schools Group, which is over on Google Plus. It's run by our friends Dave Tess and Jason Schmidt. And this is just the most awesome community of folks. There's 162 members currently, and I've seen everything under the sun, including models and recommendations and things like that discussed here in this group. They're very responsive to people's questions and everything. You know, I've got a broken screen, or I'm missing a few keys, or, you know, I'm having trouble with parents not being comfortable with the kids having Chromebooks. What kind of policies do you have? And, you know, just all over the place. So if you are considering Chromebooks for your classroom and aren't a part of the Wells Google Schools community, head on over. We'll have the link in the show notes. And it is a private group, so you have to request access. But I know the people in charge, and I think they'll grant you access. And I think it'll be a good place for you to ask and learn from those and share your experience as well, obviously.
Thanks. Good. Yep. Thanks for rounding all those resources up, Sally. That's a broad swath.
Yeah, it's a popular topic. Yep. And then finally, Martin, I wanted to make mention of an email that we got just yesterday from Peter Riddell, who's out at Heritage Lutheran Church in Gilbert, Arizona. And Peter, we were happy to hear from you and happy to hear that you're a Wells Tech watcher. And he is looking at doing some direct mail type campaigns for their congregation through their evangelism committee, and was looking for resources we had mentioned on the show regarding direct mail. And that one was even more of a challenge for me. Eventually, I found some excellent resources that Pastor Rob Gunther had shared, including this website, newmoverchurchpostcards.com. And what this is they will tap into people that have registered for utility services and things like that in your area and allow you to send postcards directly to those people that have just recently moved into your target area for your congregation or school. And Rob even at the time had shared a postcard that they had designed for use for their church in Kenai, Alaska. So we have an example link that we can share with you as well. There's lots of other marketing ideas that Rob shared. We should probably revisit that and maybe have him on the show just to talk about marketing, because he had a lot of good ideas to share. But I thought this one was worth resurfacing. We probably talked about it last spring, and maybe a good time for some of those on evangelism committees to consider this option for target marketing to your new community members.
Nice. Yeah. Thanks for the research on that too. I know when I saw the email, I knew we had talked about that, but to really dig down in the archives to find that, and this is not totally a technology solution, but this is one of those crossovers, you know, where you are using technology, but you know, the end product is a print piece that can go out. So
definitely. So that's going to do it for community feedback for this week. A lot of interesting topics.
Exactly. If you'd like to contribute to the show, and we'd love it if you would, just go to wellstech.wells.net, and you can click on the comment section there, a comment button for each of the shows, and add your 2 cents. You can always send us an email, wellstech@wells.net, or any of the social networks we're on, Google+, Facebook, Twitter, Digo, Pinterest. And then the listserv is always at your disposal as well, which is a great place to have those meaningful questions, technology questions asked and answered. So lots of opportunities. So take advantage of that. Next week, Sally, I am going to look forward. I'm sorry. Ministry resources.
We have ministry resources to do.
Right over it. What do we have?
You're just ready to be done. I just wanted to make a quick mention of WordPress and the resources that are available through wordpress.com or .org. The mlcday.com site that we showed earlier in the show was developed on WordPress and is responsive, so mobile-friendly themes there, and it was all done really for free. WordPress.org is free to download and install on your own servers. WordPress.com is a way to set up a website on their hosted server. So if you're looking to do something event specific, kind of a potentially a throwaway site almost, and you don't want to invest a whole lot in developing it, I think that's a quick and easy way to throw up a site, and you know, you can get a domain name associated with it if you want, but very, very quick and easy to do. And then I wanted to make mention of one other ministry resource, Martin. This is from a friend of the show, Steve Brown, who's up in the North Atlantic District. I can't tell you exactly what church, but we've had him on the show before, and he's talked about a website that he does, which is called Worship Ideas You Can Use, where he puts together different worship resources. I think they do more of a contemporary type worship in his congregation, and he's got recommended books, biblical poetry, just a lot of different resources and things on his website. Well, Steve has published a book, and you can find it over on Amazon.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah. And it's called Lifestyle Worship, Poems, Prayers, and Ministry Resources. You can get it for your Kindle for just 99 cents, or you can get it in paperback for $9.99, both available on the Amazon store at amazon.com, and we'll have links to that in our show notes. He sent out a little email introducing it, and looks like an excellent project that he's, you know, invested his time, obviously been very involved in worship and developing worship resources, and wants to share that experience and knowledge and resources with others. So check out his book if you're so inclined. I was thinking of Matt Weslow and the worship that he's helping with down at Holy Word in Austin. And these two guys maybe should get together. Sounds like they have a lot in common and a lot to offer in terms of worship resources.
You bet. Using the tools.
Yeah.
So cool. Well, Sally, next week, I will just be getting back from a trip to Boise, Idaho, where I'll be working with the Vietnamese church there on some cross-cultural digital strategies. And I think that's going to be the topic for our show, Cross-Cultural Ministry Tech. Just what opportunities are out there? Does it differ in how you reach out to cross-cultural opportunities there in your particular area? And I think almost everybody across the Synod probably has opportunities for cross-cultural ministry. So how does tech fit in there? So that's what we're going to be talking about next week, so tune in then. Just a reminder, we record the show every Tuesday afternoon, 4 o'clock Central, and you can tune in live. WellsTechLive.wells.net is the place to go if you want to join the conversation. And one advantage that that has is you can participate right online and shape the direction the show takes by asking a question or making a comment, because we do receive those if you are online and make that opportunity available. Video of the week, Sally.
We have a video to share. We do. I should share my screen. In keeping with our MLC Day theme, and not to tip the hat too much to what you're going to experience in terms of videos tomorrow, this video actually goes back to a March 7th performance of the MLC College Choir. This was during their choir tour. They had a very unique experience in that they sang in the rotunda of the Wisconsin State Capitol building. And they sang God So Loved the World, one of their commissioned pieces for this year's choir tour. And it was just amazing. The sound quality was incredible. The people in the Capitol
are awesome there. What a refreshing change, because whenever I see that rotunda on the news here in Wisconsin, it's for protesters and people yelling shame, shame. So this is a nice change.
A very positive thing. And this one was taken from up high, so you can see the people watching the event and hear the choir's beautiful piece. So we'll have that available on the show notes page, and you can grab the link there and like it yourself on Vimeo as well.
Beautiful. Thanks for sharing that, Sally. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to do it for the show this week. Again, we will talk to you next week. Sally, enjoy the day tomorrow. And just a reminder, everybody, mlcday.com is the place to go tomorrow.
You got it. Be there.
On your day, and we'll talk to you again next week. Bye-bye.